to Psalms 8. We're at the end. We finished all of our questions on thankfulness, and we're going to look at some psalms that have to do with praising God and thankfulness. So we're at the end of that lesson, and it's question number 8, and it's Psalms 8.
That's where you stop that and bring your own lesson.
Do you need a lesson?
I have a new lesson. I just don't have my old lesson with the last question on it.
Psalms 8 is talking about how awesome God is and how His greatness is shown in creation and how He cares for man. This is the glory of the Lord in creation. First thing, notice that verse 8, David repeats in verse 9. It says the same thing. Pat, would you read Psalms 8 for us?
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength. Because of your adversaries, you make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
So this psalm expresses wonder at the majestic and the sublime nature of God. That means to exalt Him in dignity and honor. Some synonyms would be awesome. You know, awesome is a word that's used a lot today. But this is a different kind of awesome to me. I mean, God is really awesome. We might think of this as stunning when we think of what it would. We read this and appreciate how God views man. I ask you, what is David praising God for?
His majesty and his attitude and blessing towards me.
Yes. I have the glory and excellence of God manifested by his works, which is the same thing. And then we want to see how this is exhibited. In verse 3, he talks about, David says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, this is New King James, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. And verse 4 talks about, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him. God is mindful of man. We're going to see how he put man, as verse 5 says, you've made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor, but put him above everything else, everything else that God created, he put man above. David is in awe at the splendor of creation. The wonders of nature lead him to praise the Creator. So I said, how is this exhibited? Verse 3, I had the starry heavens. Did y'all have anything different on number 1? And then verse 4, we already read, it talks, number 2 and number 3 talks about man. On number 2, I just put, it's the glory and excellence of God is exhibited by man. And then on number three, I put his formation. This should show us how valuable we are to God in verse 5. And then verse 6 through 8, what did y'all have for number 4? And verse 6 through 8.
Let's go back to verse 5 for just a moment. Guys, making the new Lord and God, and crown him with glory and majesty. to think of man, to give him not only the place over the rest of his creation, as talked about, but to think of his soul made in the image of God. He made him the Lord, and we're made in the image of God. And he not only cares about us in making us, you know, having a place and sustaining us, you know, in his creation, but to think about our souls enough to, even before the creation of the world, to think of sending his son to die for us. So, you know, and he crowns us with majesty and dignity in that, yeah, we're created in his image and that we can be in his presence, you know. The angels are in his presence, you know, but we can also, you know, be in his presence one day. And so, you know, he really separates man away from it. Talks about Hebrews also, you know, about this and quotes this chapter. And so, you know, it's, we are very important to God, and we should praise him for caring about us and making us as we are, and should make us even more diligent to try to serve him.
And David could see that, and that's what he's telling us. Okay, verse 6 through 8 is where David's talking about all the things that God put man over, dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, sheep, oxen, even the beasts of the field, birds of the air, the fish of the sea, that pass through the paths of the seas. That's that strikes me as an interesting phrase. The fish, all fish that pass through the paths of the seas. God's name is celebrated all over the earth. And then again, verse 1 and 9, David says it twice. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Anything else on Psalms 8? Okay, turn to Psalms 30. Hannah, did I give you this? Do you have this? The next two psalms that we're going to look at both talk about answered prayer. Elizabeth, would you read Psalms 30?
I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You have kept me alive, that I would not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Now, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. O Lord, by your favor you have made my mountains stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
So David ends this by thanking God. And that's the thing that we're looking at. I ask you to discuss what David is talking about in the following verses. Verse 1 through 3, David lists four things that God has done for him. He says he has lifted him up. He says, you have not let my foes to rejoice over me. He says, you have healed me. I think that's body and mind. You have brought my soul up from the grave. What did you have? What's your answer for number one?
Thankfulness for God's care for him in time of help, when he needed God's help. Mm-hmm. Crying to God, and God heard him.
Saved us from his enemies, don't you think? You know,
I have wrestled with when this psalm was written because mm-hmm. of some things that the title says, and these were put there from antiquity, so mm-hmm. I mean, they're not inspired, but they've been there for a long time. At the dedication of the house, what house? It wasn't before the dedication of the temple, because he wasn't then. Was it the dedication of his house? If it was, I would think this would have been before the time of Bathsheba. But if it was after the time of Bathsheba, you know, I just don't know. I wrestle with when it could be.
Yeah.
But even before his sin with Bathsheba, he had a lot of trouble with Saul. Saul tried to kill him. You know, he was constantly feared for his life and running, and you know, running from Saul. And then the whole nation turned against him. And then, of course, he had the problem with Absalom. So I really don't know time-wise when this would have hit.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to me that several of the psalms that you picked, David uses this phrase, some sort of the phrase of God being his help. Mm-hmm. God. He relied on God, and he was thankful for God being there. We don't think of God as a helper so many times. Mm-hmm. We think of, you know, God's God, and I'm here. But if we just realize how much God helps us, and he, when we pray to him, he hears if we're truly seeking his help. So many times we seek God's help and go off and do our own thing.
Yeah.
We just want God to fix everything. But anyway, that was how I heard.
And along with what you're talking about, we also see in these psalms about having the confidence. David had the confidence. He knew that God was there, no matter what he did wrong or what was going on. And we all know David, he made one really big mistake, but he still had the confidence that God was there and that God would help him. Verse 4 through 12 is an exhortation to others to follow his example and thus acknowledge God's merciful dealings with them. God knew that David knew that God was merciful. What did you have for verse 4 and 5?
Giving thanks to God for his favor, for his blessings, and turning away his anger. Of course, he really talks about in that Psalms 51. Mm-hmm. Of course, that is talking about after his sin with Bathsheba. But, mm-hmm. You know, there are other times in David's life that he turned to God and thanked him, you know, for helping him through stuff. You know, further down, you'll probably discuss about him being prideful and depending on his own power.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns back to God. That's that repentant heart. That's that contrite heart that David had.
Yes.
But, turning away his anger. You know, God is angry sometimes, and he disciplines those he loves, but then he's true to himself, his mm-hmm. righteousness, that if you turn back to him, he'll forgive you.
And I meant to say at the beginning on these, there is no right or wrong answer. It's not like teaching the children's class and they fill out the blanks. Every answer is right. I also had on verse 4 and 5, he's calling others to praise the Lord, to learn about God. And then 6 and 7 was, I believe, what Linda was talking about. The change that took place with David in his mind. He said, verse 6 says, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. God knew what that, I mean, David knew what that meant, for God to hide his face from him. And then verse 8 through 10, I had how he prayed for mercy so he can live to praise God. This was important to David, and he wanted to get back right. Do y'all have anything else or to add on six, on number 3 or 4? And then verse 11 and 12, how God heard and delivered him, and how it affected him. This goes back to what Linda was talking about. He was transformed and renewed because he repented. One thing I noticed, in verse 5, of course we have captions that men put, where he says, but joy comes in the morning. I think the English Standard Version has that at the top of this psalm. Have you ever been really, really bothered by something at night and you can't get past it? And it keeps you from sleeping. And what I've learned after all these years is it's going to look better in the morning, no matter how bad you feel, or I can't let go of it. No, I know that in the morning when I wake up, it's going to look different than it does now. So I really like, but joy comes in the morning. And David talked about that. Anything else on Psalms 30? Okay. And then Psalms 54 is our second one. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 23. Look at a couple of verses that I believe have to do with this psalm. Susan, would you read 1 Samuel 23:19 through 23?
Then Zephatus came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is David not hiding with us in the strongholds at Horesh on the hill of Hachelah, which is on the south of Absalom? O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to do so, and our part shall be to surrender him into the king's hand. And Saul said, may you be blessed to the Lord, may you be blessed to the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. Go now, make more sure, and investigate, and see this place where his haunt is, and who has seen him there. For I am told that he is very cunning. So look and learn about all the hiding places where he hides himself, and return to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come about, if he is in the land, that I will search him out among all the thousands of Judah.
Okay, and then turn to 26. Anna, would you read verse 1 through 3?
So Zephathites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is not David hiding on the hill of Hachelah, which is before Bethlehem? So Saul rose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having with him 3,000 chosen men of Israel, to search for David in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul camped in the hill of Hachelah, which is before Jeshimon, beside the road, and David was staying in the wilderness. when he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness.
Okay, so this, I believe this psalm has to do with this period when Saul was chasing David. And one other thing I noticed in 2 Samuel 2 and 3 is when they had civil war, when David was, when Solomon was supposed to become king. I mean, David, excuse me. And so this is a period in David's life that was very, very difficult. Saul was chasing him constantly. And David could have easily killed him, and he chose not to because of the way he felt about God. So let's look at Psalms, oh, I didn't turn there, 54. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. So again, David is beseeching God. It's verse 1 through 3 is a call for God's help. He's complaining that strangers had risen up against him to take away his life. And again, he knew where to go. He had confidence that God would help him. And then in verse 4 and 5, he expresses his confidence that we were talking about. His confidence in God, that God will uphold him and punish his enemies. David believed that this was possible. He believed that God would do that. Now, one thing we want to notice, David did not take vengeance into his own hands. Only the Lord can take revenge. It is not our place to be vengeful or take revenge, no matter sometimes how bad we want to do that. And verse 6 promises to sacrifice to God, this vow of praise. I think this is the idea of being thankful and appreciating God. This is the vow, I think, that he's talking about. And then in verse 7, he talks about his deliverance. God did what David was asking for. God is honored for answering prayer. And I've kind of answered it, but what did y'all have? Anything? What is David grateful for? Did y'all have anything other than answer prayer?
Well, he also said, God is my helper, like Pat was saying.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he can trust in God to take care of him.
Yes.
I put that for sustaining my soul. We need to learn this lesson. And when we face trials, temptation, or bitterness from others, you know, all of that, you know, God can sustain us if we just let him vindicate, let him take care of it. We just do right. David mm-hmm. did right. He didn't kill Saul.
Right. He had several opportunities to do that.
And so do right and be sustained. Be comforted. You know, a lot of the markings that I did in Psalm 119 was what the Word of God does. And what it does is that it rises our heart. The word there is, I just had a brain freeze. What is it, Pat, that it says when it brings up your heart? What's the word that used in Psalm 19? I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It was in my brain. I've got it marked, so it won't be. It not only helped me, but it's revive.
Revive.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Revive.
revive me. Mm-hmm. And so that the Word of God and prayer and thinking, you know, of Him, and that will sustain us through yes. whatever we have to face.
Mm-hmm. And we need to remember to honor God for that.
Right. You know, you're talking about sacrifices and everything, just praising Him, serving Him. That's the best way that we can show others that we really trust in God, is by keeping on serving Him, you know, not letting down. You know, a lot of people, when they go through a lot of problems and everything, they let down in their service, but to keep on serving God and to show that we are truly thankful and be what we need to be for Him.
Yes. One other thing I want to mention before we go to Psalms 47. Well, we have to remember on answered prayer, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, sometimes God says wait. So it's not always the answer that we want. It has to be God's answer.
Shannon,
yes.
Not only does God say yes sometimes, but the way He is going about it, we don't recognize it as a yes. When we pray, or maybe I'm the one guilty of this, but sometimes I have been guilty of praying for something, and in my mind, I knew how God had to do it. The case in point for me was Joel when he was unfaithful. And when Joel was born in the Navy, I just thought, there's no hope.
Yeah.
He goes off there, you know, he's not going to be a Christian, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Boot camp, they won't even let you go to church. They won't even let you, you know, to make a long story short, that was when the Navy was where Joel realized what his faith meant to him. Mm-hmm. And to me, I thought that was going to be the end of it.
Yeah.
And God was saying, yes, I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to give him things in his life to bring him back to me. But I think that was the way to do it. And so sometimes we not only want God to say yes, but we want Him to say yes how we want it done.
And we don't like the way He's doing it.
And David, you know, God kept delivering Saul in his hands, and David kept not doing it because he realized that wasn't God's answer. That was Satan's answer to get him to do something wrong. And he would not force his hand against God's anointing. And so sometimes we're guilty of, okay, God's given me this opportunity, and we don't examine to see if it's really the right way to go or not. It's going to be fast for us. It would have been fast for David. It's the first time he had an opportunity to kill Saul. He could not.
I would have solved all his problems at that time.
And for the minute. But anyway, he does say wait sometimes, but sometimes he's saying yes, and I don't appreciate the yes is how he's doing it.
Okay, Psalms 47. This has to do with God being the ruler of the nations. It's also called sovereignty. God is sovereign. Linda, would you read Psalms 47?
But let your hands, all peoples, shout to God with a voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob, whom He loves. God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a skillful song. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted.
Okay. I asked why should we praise God? And I went through and just made a list. And I'll start. One thing I had, because He's sovereign. There's a lot of kings on the face of the earth. But this says, he is a great king over all the earth. There's a lot of kings, but he's the greatest king. And I forgot what your version had where mine has awesome. Let me see. Read verse 2 again, Linda.
The Lord Most High and the Great King.
Is a great king. And mine said, the Lord Most High is awesome. He's ruler of the earth. He has power over all the nations. Awesome, of course, is fear and reverence for the Almighty God. He is the Almighty. Okay, before I do it all, what else did y'all have for why we should praise God?
I just said he is king of all the earth. He is in control of all the nations. Therefore, he is to be highly exalted. Mm-hmm. Now, when we think of a king that rules one nation, the other nations don't. They're not his concern unless he's going to conquer them.
Yeah.
And God doesn't have to conquer any nation. You know, he taught us through the Old Testament. He raises up kings and he puts them down. And not just one nation, not just the nation of Judah, all the nations. And so when we think of someone who, you know, you may think of someone who owns a city. You know, they started it, they built it, and pretty much everything in it belongs to them, all the business and everything. Then when you think of the God who owns every city, every nation, every city in that nation, mm-hmm. and he controls it. That awesome is really not even a word that begins to comprehend.
Right.
Even though it's a great word. Like you said, we throw that around loosely. But awesome does not even begin to help me comprehend because there's nothing to compare it to.
Yes. Most of the time I hear awesome is mothers trying to encourage children. Mm-hmm. They'll do something good and we'll say, awesome. And that does encourage them. And that's a good word. But this is different, like you say.
The other thing that I get from this verse, this was talking about the nation of Israel, and but God made a plan, and he brought that plan, you know, mm-hmm. he brought it as he had planned it, you know, and no man under earth stopped it. He cared for them. He sustained them. We can look at, we go to his people today, the spiritual children of Abraham, spiritual Israel, he made a plan. He's made the inheritance. You know, he chose. He, in his infinite, you know, mm-hmm. mercy and wisdom and power, and he will bring about what he said about that.
Yes.
And we're blessed by that, and he cares for his people today. So, you know, it's we can grow get comfort from this, but we can translate it into his kingdom today, his people today, because he does the same for us today, not in the same national way that he did for the Israelites, but God's overall. Mm-hmm. And so many of the Psalms, even like 46 over there, we shouldn't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's watching, he's caring. He will do what he says he will do.
And we need to believe that and have confidence in that, as David did. Okay, we're going to stop here, and then we'll do the next three next week. And so, you know, let me know if that's not going to work, if y'all have made other plans. That's a good case where plans don't always work out. I wasn't planning on not having class last week.